Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Let's look at this trial. The prisoner, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, is condemned to death. Here is injustice breathtaking in its magnitude. God's innocent son, yes, the God-man, is condemned to die.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Before Jesus was put to death on the cross, he was put on trial, first by the religious leaders and then by the Roman government. Today, Pastor John Monroe breaks down that first religious trial from the legal perspective and offers additional insight on the injustices experienced by our Savior. Let's join Pastor John Monroe for today's lesson, Jesus on Trial.
Last time we began to consider the trial of Jesus. Can you believe that God incarnate, the creator of the universe, is on trial by those created by him? There are, in fact, two trials. There is the religious trial before the Jews and the secular trial before the Romans, where Pilate is the judge. In the Jewish trial, the issue is blasphemy. In the Roman trial, the issue is treason. What an injustice the Jewish trial was. Clearly, the judges were biased. The evidence given by the witnesses was false, inconsistent. Yet, the verdict on Jesus is still guilty. Let's continue to think of this trial, which I trust you find as fascinating as I do. We're looking at Matthew 26, verses 57 through 68. Matthew 26, verse 57, then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, this man said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest stood up and said, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, you've said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, he's uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You've now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment? They answered, he deserves death. Then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you? Let's look at this trial. First of all, I want to say that the trial of Jesus Christ here had biased judges. Secondly, the trial of Jesus had false witnesses. Third, the trial of Jesus had illegal and improper procedures. Did you notice during the trial a strange omission? They called their witnesses, but there seemed to be no opportunity for Jesus to call his witnesses. Think of some of the witnesses Jesus could have called. Think of the leper he had healed. Think of the man in John 9 who was blind from birth and Jesus cured him. And think of Lazarus, a man who had been dead in a tomb, wrapped up for 4 days. And Jesus stands and says, Lazarus, come forth. And the man comes forth still in his grave clothes. When Pilate, the Roman judge, is later going to ask the charge, the Jewish religious leaders say, as recorded in John 18, verse 30, if this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you. They're saying, listen, Pilate, if this man weren't evil, we wouldn't have delivered him to you. That's begging the question, isn't it? What is the charge? Where is the evidence? No, the Sanhedrin have made up their mind. It's a horrendous miscarriage of justice. An innocent man is condemned to die. What an amazing scene. Our wonderful, matchless, innocent Savior allows wicked men to condemn him to death. The Almighty God, the innocent is declared guilty. The just is treated unjustly. God incarnate is declared to be a blasphemer. The Creator is shamefully treated by his creation. The resurrection and the life is sentenced to death. What do you think? I have 3 points as I conclude. 3 responses. First of all, there's a decision to be made. What's your verdict on the central person of human history? This is the key question. What do you think of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God? There can be no neutrality. It's not just the Sanhedrin who had to decide. We know their decision. Death. But what's your decision on Jesus, Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world? Every person who rejects Jesus Christ is guilty of blasphemy against the God who in love sends his Son for our purpose to save us. I'm the good shepherd who gives my life for the sheep. We call the radio program The Verdict. And at the conclusion, I always say the verdict's yours. What is your verdict? What do you think of Jesus the Christ? Can you honestly say, he is my Savior, he's my God, I'm trusting him, I've received him as my Savior? To delay is to reject him. So first, there's a decision to be made. Secondly, there is a Savior to worship and love and serve and loyally follow. We've been looking at Jesus. We've looked at Jesus as we've studied Matthew, some amazing scenes, his teaching, his miracles. But here's another scene. Here's a Savior who's spat at, who's slapped, who's mocked, who's condemned. John the Baptist had said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." If you profess to be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to look at your Savior. You see, it's essential that the sinlessness of our Savior is demonstrated. It's essential that there is no true accusation against God's Son. As I've said, these scheming evil men had 3 years to prepare their case against Jesus the Christ, and their case totally falls apart. The witnesses can make no truthful, corroborated testimony against the sinless Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Apostle Peter, the man of action, looks at Jesus and says he did no sin. Paul, the great intellectual, said of Jesus, he knew no sin. John, the apostle of love, says, in him there is no sin. The penetrating scrutiny of his most severe critic can find no blemish in our matchless Lord Jesus Christ. Here is an awesome Savior. In every aspect of his life, he's flawless. He's the altogether lovely one, all fair without, all pure within, our blessed Lord. Comes into the world in a unique way, conceived by the Virgin. Sinless, always 100% did his Father's will. You say, John, why is that so important? Only a sinless Savior can be your substitute. I can't die on the cross for you, even if I wanted to. I can't take away your sin. I'm a sinful person myself. All of us, without exception, are sinful. As the first man, Adam, since then, all have sinned, apart from the second man, the Lord of glory, the sinless Christ who comes from heaven into this world, the Word becoming flesh and becoming like us, sin apart. And only a perfect Savior can pay the price of sin for you. Only He is worthy of our praise. There is none like Him, nor will there ever, ever be anyone like Him. What are we to do? We are to receive Him as our Savior. We're to bow and worship Him as we're doing. We are to follow Him, whatever the odds against us, whatever the persecution, whatever the difficulties. We are each day to keep our eyes on this wonderful, peerless, unique person, the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. And we bow, don't we? In worship and praise. Do you love this one? You're really following Him. See, the more you follow Him, the closer you'll be to Him, and the more you'll love Him. And the closer you are to Him, the less likely you're going to fall into sin. Every day, get your eye on Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So there's a decision to be made. There's a Savior to worship, love, serve, and loyally follow. But here's the third one, the final one. There is an example to follow. You say, well, he's sinless. I'm sinful. Yes, but He is still our example. And in His suffering, there are lessons for us to learn, hard, difficult lessons. His silence is remarkable, isn't it? Verse 62. Jesus remained silent. You and I would have been shouting our innocence. We'd been shouting for these witnesses. But of course, this is in fulfillment of Isaiah 53, verse 7. We looked at it last week. Listen again to the wonderful messianic prediction by the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He, the Messiah, was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. You and I live in a world of suffering, a world of injustice. Some of you have experienced that slightly. Some of you have experienced it deeply. Being a follower of Jesus does not exempt you from suffering. You say, how do you know that? First of all, look at the Savior. Luther said, no man suffered like Him. Think of His suffering. And He provides a wonderful example to us as we suffer. How do we respond to suffering? I've asked a friend to come and share how he has responded to his suffering. This is a friend of mine, United States Army Major, retired William Austin. He's a veteran of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, where he was awarded 2 Bronze Star medals. He served for 12 years on active duty as a JAG attorney, to include combat deployments with the 10th Mountain Division Light Infantry, the 7th Special Forces Group Airborne, and the Navy SEAL Team 5. Will was medically retired on September 11, 2019, due to a service-connected illness acquired during his deployment to Afghanistan. He's grateful for the caring treatment provided by medical professionals in the U.S. Special Operations Warrior Care Program. And I thought it was very fitting as we deal with suffering and as we look to Christ to hear an example of one who experienced suffering. Let's welcome Bill from Platform.
Oh, please don't stand. Thank you. I really appreciate it. So I share with you my testimony today of suffering in honor of the fallen, my brothers and sisters. Whew, hopefully I'll get through this. So the title of my testimony is Suffering is Never for Nothing. As Dr. Monroe mentioned, I deployed to Afghanistan in 2012, 2013. With the Special Operations Task Force. I was their JAG legal advisor, Rules of Engagement, International Law of Armed Conflict. I was embedded right in the midst of combat operations with them. And I was exposed to something doctors call an environmental toxin, maybe from the burn pits, maybe from bad goat stew at Ashura that we had with tribal leaders. They don't know. But I came back in 2013, and I was not the man that I used to be. And my body just started to deteriorate all kinds of symptoms that we'll go through, but it kind of culminated in 2018 with I broke out in leprous-like sores all over my body in the most sensitive parts of my body. They thought that I had AIDS. They weren't sure what was going on. So I was supposed to deploy again, but instead they sent me to the Walter Reed Fort Belvoir Community Hospital in DC area to get the best medical treatment that the military could provide for me, because I'd been in for over a decade at that point. And when I went to get treatment, instead of getting up to a year of treatment, a medical bureaucrat enrolled me in the medical separation process illegally, unjustly. And when I met with her and pointed out her mistake, she admitted she made a mistake. But then I said, great, please disenroll me. And she said, I'm not going to do that. And I said, why not, ma'am? And this is exactly what she said. She goes, because I say so, you're just a number to me. And see, what had happened is at the beginning of 2018, January 1st, a new bureaucratic agency created by Congress called Defense Health Agency had come online, and they now manage, for the first time in 240 years of military tradition, they manage, a civilian-led bureaucracy managed active duty wounded warriors, not military commanders anymore. I was diagnosed with my illness on January 2nd of 2018, so I was literally the tip of the spear for this new process. And they were just trying to get us out. All right, so an injustice. What have I learned from these injustices and my suffering? I've learned the following three lessons. First, suffering reorders our loves. It reveals we love things too much or love God little, too little in proportion to those things. When God uses suffering to reorder the loves in our heart, then our purpose comes into alignment when we are backed up by the power of His Spirit. I had the opportunity, even though I'm a lawyer, I think sometimes my commanders wanted to mess with me because I'm a lawyer, because nobody likes lawyers, right? Let's just be honest. It's okay. It's okay. And so they would send me to these like really difficult schools, like pre-ranger, ranger school, SEER training with Green Berets. So it was actually great for me because I learned how to not only be an outstanding attorney, but also a soldier. And so when you're at some of these schools, like ranger school, SEER school, this is your best friend, your compass, all right? And if your compass is not properly calibrated, then even if you are the best trained land navigator in the history of the United States Army, if this compass is not properly calibrated, you will not be able to shoot what's called a proper azimuth, and you will get lost after a couple hundred meters. And that's what suffering does for us. It realigns the calibration of our hearts. It reorders our loves. Secondly, trials and suffering are like a fiery furnace. 1 Peter 1:6-9 says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The promise for us, beloved, is not that we won't go through fiery trials. The promise is that when we go through it, He will be with us. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire," there it is, fire again, "you will not be burned and the flame shall not consume you." Third, the worst suffering imaginable cannot separate us from the love of Christ. I believe that this is the most important truth that we must remind ourselves when we're suffering. Romans 8:35-39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Verse 37, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And this is the most important thing, beloved, that we have to remind ourselves of, because when the days get dark and the suffering gets intense, that is when, and it's easy, it's natural, it's human to doubt the love of God. And this is when we must take captive those thoughts in our mind and make them obedient to Christ. And we must control our internal dialogue and say, "I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is good, He is for me, and my circumstances do not dictate what the Word of God says." And I'll close with this. God is using my suffering to not only set my heart free to worship Him more fully in spirit and truth, but He is using it to set a generation of wounded warriors free. Major Dick Winters, a Band of Brothers fame, when asked by his granddaughter if he was a hero, answered, "No, but I serve in the company of heroes." May we always remember and never forget that we are in the company of heroes as we stay on mission for Christ to advance his kingdom on earth. Thank you for allowing me to share my testimony. Suffering is never for nothing. God bless you.
Thanks. Please be seated. Thank you, Will. We close with this reading from Scripture, Peter 21. For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you. Context of suffering. Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. We look at Christ. That's why we're reading the Scriptures. That's why we dealt with the trial. He provides us an example so that we would follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. Do you hear that? When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. We reaffirm, as Will has said, our faith in our living God. He, our Savior, himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Peter says our Savior dealt with sin. He bore it on the cross. He dealt with our sickness. By his wounds we're healed. He deals with our straying. He brings us to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. I ask you again, what is your verdict? Follow Jesus Christ. Some of you have never yet surrendered to Christ. Would you do that? Father, we thank you for the perfect example of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sin bearer, and as he bears our sin, he provides us a wonderful example. May we, when we suffer, look to our Savior to love him more loyally. And again, we thank you, Father, for this opportunity we have as a people of God to come as the shepherds did, as people did through the life of Jesus Christ. We come now and say, worthy is he of all. In Christ's name, amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the conclusion of a message titled, Jesus on Trial. And before we get to John's closing remarks, we'd like to tell you about the special resource we're currently offering. It's a booklet by John focused on the teaching of Jesus and what it really means to follow him. With a detailed focus on Scripture alongside insightful notes from John, you'll gain an eternal perspective for day-to-day living as you go deeper into the very practical teaching of Jesus from the book of Matthew. The booklet is titled Life in the Kingdom, and it's completely free just for connecting with us. Request your copy of this resource today at theverdict.org. Then be sure to also sign up for John's email newsletter. Once a month, John sends out exciting updates and opportunities here at The Verdict, and you can join the list today by signing up at theverdict.org. If you value the gospel work of this ministry, we invite you to be a part of our radio outreach and help us share these biblical teachings with new listeners this year by giving a financial gift of any amount. Your generous contributions will help cover the costs to deliver the truth of God's Word through the radio to your neighbors, your community, and all around the world. To partner with us today, just go to theverdict.org. Or send your gift in the mail by writing to us at The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? You know that the Sanhedrin was determined to find Jesus guilty, but what about you? It's clear that Jesus is innocent of all charges, but it falls on each one of us to give a personal response to who Jesus is and why he came to earth. I challenge you to make a decision to worship, love, and serve and loyally follow Jesus. Will you do that? Jesus is unique, the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, the only one who can bring us to God. The verdict is yours.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.